I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a tough week for 2 of the 3 Scottish clubs in Europe. Rangers go down 4-1 at home to Lyon, but Philippe Clement says the scoreline was harsh. Brendan Rodgers says Celtic can't just turn on defensive football like a tap, but Hearts do provide some positivity, winning their game last night. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
Well, there are 2 words that come to mind with regard to how Celtic and Rangers spent midweek. Reality check. They got a guided tour of their inadequacies at the highest level of European football. A total of 11 goals lost, and they could have lost even more. Promises are always made that players and managers will learn from the experience and they'll be better. Well, we'll find out when Celtic go to play Atalanta in Italy and Rangers take on Steaua Bucharest at Ibrox later in the month. In the meantime, the pair of them have no option but to beat Ross County and St Johnstone on Sunday, when they will be the elite and the others are much less advantaged than them. So according to Tuesday and Thursday night's football, they should both win comfortably.
Scott Allen, there was a time where we would come on a Friday and celebrate a positive week for Glasgow's Big Two in Europe, but it feels like quite a long time ago.
Yeah, well, it was a long time ago. I think looking at the two results as you touches on, very, very disappointing. In terms of Celtic, I think they went out, tried to replicate what they've had in the league, and I think Brendan Rodgers and anybody who watch it, there is levels to football and we're cruelly punished for giving the mistakes. Rangers again came unstuck against a Lyon team who in the attacking third were incredible in my eyes.
0141 951 1025. We've clearly had more time already to go over the Celtic game from Tuesday night, so let's start with Rangers last night. Rangers fans, how did you view it? It was clearly a difficult night. The scoreline tells you that. Philippe Clement says the scoreline was harsh. Do you agree or not? Where did it go wrong? Is it again, I know we can't always lump everyone together, but if we were to be very basic in the comparisons between the two midweek, is it all about style? Because both managers, I noticed both managers asked pretty much the same questions today. Can you be more defensive? Can you be tighter? And both of them saying the same thing. And no, you can't, and it's not that simple. So, Rangers fans, what did you think about last night? Where did it go wrong? James Tavernier, is that an interesting one for you? Is that the earliest we've seen him taken off? Is that the start of something? Is that a sign there that his place in the team is not as guaranteed as it once was? Give us your thoughts, please. 0141 951 1025. For you Celtic fans, I suppose it's more about looking forward. Brendan Rodgers has spoken today, saying he can't just turn it on and off like a tap. You can't just suddenly sit back. And what do you want us to do? He says sit back in the edge of the box and lose 3 or 4 nil. Not for him. But what do you think? 0141 951 1025. Hearts fans, you could break the mould and celebrate after last night. That was a good win, a much needed one as well. And we're straight back onto a big weekend anyway, Hugh.
Yeah, we've got good league games Saturday and Sunday. Sunday promises to be quite something, I think. You've got Celtic at high noon in Dingwall. Now, Brendan Rodgers says again that they'll learn from this, and you can't turn off football like a tap and then come back as a defensive side. So they left, and this is what amazes me, Gordon, they left Scotland last weekend on an absolute high. The performance against St Johnston was stunning. Six goals. And they've come back with people pointing at a 7-1 defeat and saying, things can't go on like this. Likewise, Rangers were iffy against Hibs at Ibrox last Sunday and then got a real going over. I'm not buying that they had the same number of chances as Lyon and that the scoreline was harsh. No, it wasn't. They were lucky. They didn't lose seven as well. So they've both got to atone to their fans on Sunday. And then we've got a terrific game, Aberdeen against the all-conquering Hearts at Pittodrie. Jimmy Tielan's 13th game. Will it be unlucky? Or will Hearts go back to their league form, which is appalling?
Like I said, Scott, it's funny that they both seem to be having this similar discussion. I am more than happy to hand over. Twitter can do its thing and knock itself out about where Dortmund are compared to Lyon and what game was harder and what competition. I don't even mean that. I just mean on a very basic level, they both seem to be getting asked, yes, those teams are better than us, and yes, we'll probably lose, but can we lose differently? Or can we approach the game differently? Are they both in a similar boat on that regard, if you look at the questions that are, you know, being posed to both managers today?
Yeah, but I think Brendan Rodgers summarised it perfectly. Celtic have played away. They've worked on a style of play since pre-season, which has well and truly worked for them up until this point. It worked in the home game against Bratislava as well. Unfortunately, when you play that way and it's risk with reward, playing through the press, as Brendan Rodgers did say before his game, it wasn't that he hadn't told us. He'd already told us that in his pre-match press conference. When you're playing through and you're playing against better, faster players in a different environment and you don't make the passes and you can get caught, you get punished. And it was simply that technical and composure of the Dortmund players was of a higher level than the Celtic players.
Yeah, well, here are some interesting comments from Brendan Rodgers today. What about you, Rangers fans? How do you look back on last night? Was the scoreline harsh? Could it have been worse? Does it worry you going forward? What about James Tavernier coming off early? All that sort of stuff. Give us a call right now. And whilst you get your calls in, let's hear the thoughts of Philippe Clement, who does think 4-1 was a bit unfair on his side.
1-4 is really harsh result. In the end, it's the same amount of chances that both teams have. And we had more in the first half, but it was 1-3 with halftime. And that's difference in quality, that they're more killing those moments. We did a lot of good things. I don't think we can do much more than creating that kind of chances. I don't think you can create better chances than that. But you need to kill them off also. Maybe people would have said a draw against Malmö in an away game, having a draw in Europe, and then having a draw here against Lyon, it would be really good. And we had 1 point less than now. So we don't need to calculate too much.
He's prone to getting things wrong post-match, I think. That's reminiscent of the famous moral victory against Celtic when it was 3-3 at Ibrox and Rangers snatched the draw in the dying seconds of the game. It wasn't a moral victory. There's no such thing. And last night wasn't harsh. They got off lightly. They could have lost seven. Jack Butland had terrific saves. Ball came off the bar. Some of Lyon's finishing second half, late the second half, wasn't as clinical as it had been in the first half. So harsh? No.
I think, looking at his press conference, I think if Cherney scores in the opening 5 minutes, because they didn't look great at the back, Lyon, they did look vulnerable.
He's scoring that, Shug?
Oh, yeah.
Fancy your chances.
Oh, yeah. He's got to score on that.
Wearing the hush puppies, I'll still score.
What?
There's a thought.
Yeah. Because he doesn't score that, Lyon then grabbed the goal, and then for the rest of the game, they controlled the pace of the game.
Let's ask Kevin, who's a Rangers fan. How do you feel about last night, Kevin?
Well, Gordon, I watched the game last night and I just feel when the moment comes in, it was harsh. I don't think it was harsh. That team came out there, never looked to were going to score goals. And that wee Conor Barron, I would never play him again.
Ah, come on, Kevin. I know it's a bad mistake, but he's been one of your better players, is he not, this season?
Well, at times, but he didn't go up to the... Oh, he goes a half one leg and he passed back again. But for Vermont, I don't think he should be the manager for our club. I would rather have Derek McInnes or Steve Gerrard back.
Well, Derek McInnes was there in punditry duty last night, of course.
Right, but if you start that, Gordon, I mean, that means Cherney doesn't play for Rangers again.
I know. Listen, that's the thing. And by the way, I think there is room for every debate here. You are more than welcome to say, actually, maybe last night is a reality check for players like Conor Barron and all that sort of stuff. But I just, the point I was making, if you're going to drop him, you're probably dropping everyone, which is a bit unsustainable. Look, the last point about Philippe Clement, I don't know if we're in proper Clement out territory the way that Kevin has announced it there, Scott, but I do feel like we're noticing a lot of Rangers fans are just not really sure about it at the moment. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's fair. Obviously, I think the Hibs game, I went to the Hibs game on Sunday, wasn't a great performance. Took a moment of magic, obviously, from Tom Lawrence to get the 3 points, and then you're saying maybe European hangover, but still managed to get the job done. Last night, you don't take the early chance, but previous Rangers teams have kind of controlled the pace of the Europa League games. That didn't happen last night. Totally outclassed for me. I think Philippe Clement, I think the frustrating thing is for the fans is they're now seeing it in the after game pressers. He looks like a guy who's looking for excuses all the time now.
He's lost the inspirational factor. When he came here at first, no defeats in 17 to begin with, and you think this is a man of substance, this is a man who's won trophies, a man who's good enough to be asked to manage Monaco in France, but he's gradually lost his way, and he'll need to be careful because, you know, earlier in the season, that dance routine behind the goal at Hampden after they'd beaten St Johnston, that, you know, what was that all about? And his assessment of last night's game does not ring true with the Rangers supporters, and he has to be careful that he doesn't lose their backing. He said the team will come good in October. Well, October has got off to a horrible start, and in October he'll need to go to Pittodrie as well. There are challenges ahead for Philippe Clement, and he's got to show that he still enjoys the confidence of the players. I don't know how Tavernier feels after being the captain, being taken off with half an hour to play in a European tie at Ibrox. But these are testing times, and there can't be, you know, Scott watched the game with Hibs at Ibrox last Sunday. 8 o'clock on a Sunday night, it's just not a proper time to kick off, but he has to be pitch perfect and word perfect.
Which is a challenge, I'm sure. Thank you to Kevin for kicking things off on the usual number. John is about to join him. How would you sum up last night's performance, John?
Hello. Yeah. It's just, I just said to your producer the other now, the quality of football players in Scotland now is diminishing by the year. And I'll tell you what the problem is Rangers and Celtic, the standard in Scottish football is dire, absolute dire. And what we've got now is, we're playing in a substandard league, and then we're asking for teams in Europe to go and play against quality teams, and the finances are not there. We've just not got the players anymore. And apart from anything else, we're starting to bring in substandard players now for foreign teams. We used to bring in my Loudrops and my Larsons and my Cadettis and my Ronald DeBoers and my Alberts. We're bringing in players for foreign teams. We'd be better probably just sticking to the Scottish players if we're getting a talent bit. To be honest with you, there's not much of a talent out there. Our talent isn't anywhere near as good as young talent in foreign soils. And apart from anything else, the Scottish game itself needs a revamp. The whole Scottish. I don't know how many think tanks will fit. I don't know how many committees have been set up to try and move Scotland forward. And we're not really moving forward. I hear people saying at grassroots level, that's the same. We're not moving. We've got academies. We've set up academies years ago. And we're not getting the fruits of our academies through.
I've got a touch of a problem with this stuff. Not because John's wrong, I think that's fine, but it's all a bit easy, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's that suits Philippe Clement down to the ground and go, ah, you know what, see what they're doing with the 7-year-olds in this country. I mean, it's no wonder I can't win. Maybe John's right, but we're talking about all this stuff that would be years in the making and, you know, all these conflicting things you've heard before about opening up pitches when they're younger and kids playing too much PlayStation and whether it's 3-a-side or 5-a-side. Like I say, it's not that it's wrong, but Philippe Clement and Brendan Rodgers need to figure out ways of winning football games. And the standard of the Scottish Premiership was pretty similar 2 years ago when Rangers reached the Europa League final.
Yeah.
No one phoned in and moaned about Kilmarnock or St Mirren or St Johnston when Rangers were on the plane to Seville. So like I say, it's not that John's wrong. It just feels like a bit out there that when the big teams do badly in Europe, everybody else gets the blame.
Yeah, first of all, to answer John's point about the game in general being in decline, the SPFL released their annual figures today, and the turnover is the highest it has ever been.
I think John means the standard of play, though, which is
different.
Yeah,
the crowds are up, and therefore they don't seem to mind. But I do agree with John in one sense, that we do seem to get an awful lot of players here who are either on loan from a lower league team in England or have been brought in from a lower league team in England on a permanent basis. And overall, there are not enough young Scottish players coming through, and that includes Celtic and Rangers, of course.
Which kind of reminds me, though, when the Scotland national team failed to qualify for a tournament, that was always the answer. We go and look for something, you know, at a grassroots level, or everyone wants to make some big profound statement about where the Scottish game is and standards declining. What about Rangers and Celtic currently just trying to fine tune what they're doing? That seems to me like the priority.
Yeah, I think John makes a lot of good points that down the line you would maybe want to look at, but these are things that have been spoken about many a time, and you're never going to get everyone in Scotland singing off the same hymn sheet trying to get players through, which affect the game 10 years from now as much as they should. I think in terms of the here and now, Celtic fans would argue it's one of the best sides they've had in the last 15 years in terms of entertainment value, the speed of play, probably one of the most, up until the Dortmund game, team you would think that could affect games in Europe. Unfortunately, they've had a bad night. Brendan Rodgers will look at it in isolation. Rangers, on the other hand, they aren't the team they were 2 years ago. You can't deny that. They are now buying players who they're hoping are good players instead of they actually are good players, and you're hoping that they react in a positive way in the environment, which is Ibrox, and the pressure that comes with that. Unfortunately, you came up against a team last night in Lyon who had some serious players in it, and they can punish you.
I listened to the programme Wednesday after Celtic had lost heavily in Dortmund the night before, and people take this stuff personally. You know, they feel embarrassed. They are Celtic supporters and they feel embarrassed by it, and therefore Brendan Rodgers started to get it in the neck straight away. And John, I get the impression, is embarrassed by Rangers' performance. So he's got the scattergun out for everybody. There are points that he makes that are valid, but at the same time, we are what we are here. Celtic have got all the money. They have more money than the whole of Scottish football put together. Rangers have been in decline for a number of years. There's a culture of failure there, and the club are trying to address that. They don't even have a chairman or a chief exec or whatever. And the rest are hand-to-mouth. And that's partly responsible for the lopsided nature of the Premiership.
It's not that John's wrong. John's actually does make a lot of good points. It feels like it's all about the timing. You know, last week, look at that Rangers performance against Malmo and Celtic and Bratislava, and although they are weaker opponents, do we just wait for bad results to come along and then react? That just feels a bit off. This should be something that
that is the reality of Rangers and Celtic.
We always talk about levels. Celtic were taken to a level by Dortmund that they couldn't handle. And Rangers against Lyon was the same. They were just not equipped to play a Borussia Dortmund. Rangers should have done better at home against a Lyon, who are 11th in the French league, but were just not equipped for that level of football.
Well, it depends what you mean, though, because that's where the debate is. Maybe not equipped to beat them. Can you be equipped to compete and make it more difficult? I think that's where a lot of people want to go. Thank you to John. Speaking of all the money that Hugh mentions, let me tell you about this.
Win £275,000.
Yes, we've just paid out a massive quarter of £1 million, but now it's time to tell you how you could win even more. That's right. By this time next week, one person will win all this cash. So enter now for your chance to win £275,000 by texting yes to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2 or call 0330 880 4523. Calls charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. The lines close at 5 p.m. next Friday. No phrase, no amount to remember. You don't even have to pick up within the five rings. Just answer your phone and the £275,000 is yours, paid into your bank straight after the call. It's a guaranteed winner. Someone will win the lot, so text yes to 61025. Good luck.
Win £275,000.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are about to be joined on the line by Jim, who's a Rangers fan. What jumped out for you last night, Jim?
Just when we missed two early goals, the writing was on the wall. Just got that feeling we're not going to win this tonight.
What are you making of Cherney at the moment, Jim? I feel I saw a few Rangers fans getting on his back last night.
From what I've seen of him, he's not. McCausland's every bit as good as him, so I don't know. So I would have taken Tavernier and Cherney off at half time and put McCausland and Sterling on at half time.
Yeah, just because you lose, and the Cherney miss will not be bettered this season. It was an awful miss. I mean, harder to miss than it was to score. But it doesn't necessarily follow that you then fall apart after that. You know, these things happen in football. It was a terrible miss, but Rangers' performance thereafter wasn't good enough.
Scott, is he among, again, everything's caveat. There's a caveat with it all that we know Leon are better and we know Leon are richer, so nobody's saying that this is a disgrace that Rangers lose, but you still have to like analyse the scale of the defeat and what Rangers could do better. Are there worries there about how Vaclav Cherny's, it looked like it settled quite quickly, is that now not the case?
For me, back to Hibs on Sunday as well, a couple of times they've always played in from, he's got to turn, plays a safety pass back. That tells me when someone's not confident. I think any footballer will tell you, when you're played that pass, it's not a case you should turn. And it happened twice in the space of 5 minutes. It went straight back to the fullback.
And the crowd let him know. He argued with the crowd.
Reacted. That tells me that he's not confident. That then leads into last night. And in the games against good sides in Europe, the first goal is important. And Rangers not getting the first goal, and Leon then edging their noses in front, that allowed them to settle, and they controlled the game for the rest of the game.
Jim, the captain got taken off earlier than, well, it doesn't usually get taken off at all, but certainly earlier than usual. What did you make of that?
I would like to have thought from the start of the season he was going to get his games picked and chosen for him, because he's lost a yard of pace and he's not been putting the quality crosses into the box that he has previously. He's still an awesome free kick taker, but teams are targeting him because they know he's lost a yard of pace. Yeah. And that had to be managed properly.
It had a watershed moment look about it. You know, with half an hour to go, Rangers captain, a man who over the 9 years he's been there has contributed massively. Well, right, they haven't been wildly successful, but they've been a lot less successful without Tavernier. But it did have a look about it, Scott, you know. With the,
yeah, it did. I think you could tell in his face, couldn't you? Even back to when we're talking about teams targeting, Tavernier, when I was at Hibs now, going on 4 or 5 years ago, our out ball was, if we turned over the ball, Cammy hit that space, that Tavernier wouldn't be in and doing him on the counter attack, and it's still the same to this day.
And with, well, Father Time catches up with everyone, he's now less likely to then get back into that space than he was. Are we starting to see the beginning of the end of that constant playing first choice every week, Jim, do you think, or will he keep his place in the team?
No disrespect to the kind of bottom half of the SPFL, claim against them, but when it comes to the better ones, we're going to have to pick and choose these games.
It's an interesting one, Hugh, but because we've debated it how many times on this show.
Yeah.
So there was a time when James Tavernier's numbers, as we kept saying, were off the charts, so good.
Yeah.
And he still had these critics, but the obvious response to that was, well, hold on a minute, you take him out of the team, look at what you're losing, look at the goals, look at the assists.
Yeah.
Once those goals dry up, do we now genuinely have a real discussion on our hands as to whether he continues as Rangers' first choice right back, or again, is it overreacting? Is it the least of Rangers' problems?
Philippe Clement has provoked the argument by taking him off when he took him off.
Yep.
And it's now how Clement handles the situation that is the important factor. You get caught again, back post, goal is scored, this lack of awareness, all too evident again. He'll know himself, but I think Philippe Clement has given everyone cause to stop and think, was that the moment that saw the beginning of the end for James Tavernier?
But then when he was asked about it, he gave the sort of really easy answer, Scott, that anyone can get taken off, and it's not, you know, it's not a big drama, and players get taken off, and that's sort of what happened. You still think there's something in it? Is that a sign that it's a bit different now from what it used to be?
I genuinely did feel there was something in it. I know he'll probably come back at you and say, obviously he's getting older and they want to manage his game time. Game was out of Rangers' reach by that point, and obviously looking ahead to Sunday is what he'll probably say, but for me, it had the makings of the start of something.
Jim, what about the more general point that it's obviously a 4-1, it's a heavy defeat, but Philippe Clement says it was harsh, and you know, is that, you agree with that?
We were lucky it wasn't a 7. Yeah. I mean, that front three destroyed our defence. They were sublime.
Yeah.
And when you're paying that kind of money for players, what can you expect?
Yeah, they were good. But again, I'm not lumping it all together because I don't really like when we
the
do
third,
that anyway.
The third goal's
but
incredible.
It's kind of similar. We had this discussion on Wednesday. You are allowed to say Celtic were bad and they did X, Y and Z wrong, but by the way, how good were Dortmund to watch? Similar last night, isn't it? That front three were quite something.
That third goal, the guy does a double touch pass and then Lacazette sticks it in the top corner. It's top level. The guy Cherky, like he was out playing with his pals, he had fun. He chopped guys inside out. It just wee moments of quality. And then the young boy Fofana pays to burn. So it's easy to sit here and say defensively this, defensively that. They had answers for all of that.
You know, the new format of the Champions League and the Europa League, you're putting yourself up against teams. I mean, what's Atalanta, who are Celtic's next opponents, absolutely destroy Shakhtar Donetsk away from home. 3-0 going on, anything you like. And you immediately think, based on what happened to Celtic and Dortmund, that's going to be a long night and will severely test Brendan Rodgers' philosophy that, no, I'll impose my style on the game. And likewise, Philippe Clement, you know, he didn't handle it well last night. Rangers did not handle the whole situation well. Steaua Bucharest next up at Ibrox will be no Lyon, but again, it's another test of Philippe Clement. There can't be another haphazard performance like that.
Grant is next up. Hi, Grant, how are you?
Hi, how you doing, panel? You all right?
All good. I think you're on a similar theme in terms of maybe who's playing where and how Rangers set up. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've got 2 wee points, but my kind of first thought, you knew last night after 5 minutes, and I'm not getting on at the guy. Tav, he's been a great servant, but right back, he's just struggling. He's really, really poor just now at right back. Going forward, it's as if he's lost a yard. They give Stirling a big contract, who was supposed to be a right back. When he's on, the guy looks solid enough. Give the guy a chance. give a guy a chance at right back. Give him three or four games at right back, see how he plays. Same as well, left back last week, Malmo, wee chap that played left back. Solid defender. Play him at left back. Great defender. Maybe not so good going forward, but then we've got a left back, a right back that are solid. Not letting anything by them. Defend first. Defend first. Don't score goals against us. We don't lose games.
Well, I think Casemiro is actually right-sided as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
As well as Dejan Sterling. You did wonder if it was something that we were going to see, because in the past that was the accusation. Even if you did think that James Tavernier wasn't doing the job, they didn't have anyone, like literally no one at a couple of points, didn't they, after Nathan Patterson left? Yep. That there were spells where there was no other realistic right back option. See, now that there are, and we're potentially looking at more than one, doesn't need to be the end, but you know, a Sunday night at home to St Johnstone, who have just gotten, do you need to play James Tavernier?
No, you should not need to play James Tavernier. You should be Leon to St Johnstone's Rangers.
Because you're not
come Sunday night.
Because let's be honest, to be fair, you're not going to turn up last night and out the blue, James Tavernier doesn't start a game like that. Rangers are not there yet.
Yeah.
Can you use games like this to assess your options?
Of course you can. I mean, I often think that there are games when Rangers and Celtic could take a chance on peripheral figures, because they ought to be overwhelmingly superior. Rangers, St Johnstone, it's a mismatch. It ought to be a mismatch. Therefore, if you can't get by without James Tavernier, then it doesn't speak greatly of the rest.
No, for me, I think you've now got two guys who can come in the full-back positions who are athletic and decent enough in the ball. I think Grant makes a great point. Last week, Casemiro was superb defensively and offensively for me. He picked up some really good positions that allowed Rangers to actually play out and get some control in the game. So come Sunday, it'll be interesting to see what Philippe Clement does, but I think if you're going to do something, it's maybe time now and start these guys into the starting 11.
Grant, overall, where are you on that argument that obviously Leon are better? Obviously they've got more money and therefore getting beat off them is perhaps predictable, but then versus, you know, Rangers need to do more, they played poorly. Where are you on all that stuff?
On paper, yes, you look at it, better team, but see, if every player gives 110% and we get beat 2-0, 3-1, whatever, you hold your hands up and say, right, everybody tried out there. They did, they tried. But at times you see, when go a goal down, like I'm getting a game next week anyway, it doesn't matter, I'm getting paid. Play for the jersey, play for the shirt.
But is it not, John,
Grant,
is it not the case though that you're simply out of your depth at times?
Trying to see as well. See, you just take a step back and every Rangers fan will see this. Look, we're just not good enough.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between not being good enough and not giving 110%. I don't think you could say Rangers players didn't give everything last night. There just comes times where you come up against players who are better football players, and when you allow them and you don't take your chances when you have them and they get on top, it becomes a really, really long night and you don't see the ball.
Having said that, it feels like in the not distant past at all, Rangers have been able to get into European games and mix it with that level of opposition. Maybe not always winning the game, but you know, maybe get that. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, this notion that it sort of can't be done, and I get that it is difficult, but the Rangers fans that are going along, they've been there on loads of Thursday nights recently when, I don't know, name them, Porto, Benfica, Leipzig, etc., etc., come. So the club has shown in recent seasons that it can be done. Is that maybe why it feels like there's been a big slip in the last couple of seasons, even though Leon, you know, would be overwhelming favourites?
Yeah, I can see why it can feel like that, because you have been there and you've came out on top in the games, but there's no denying that this team ain't anywhere near the team that Giovanni Van Bronckhorst had or Steven Gerrard had in terms of players who can win a game for you. Obviously, Ryan Kent, who had some real pace and could produce good moments. Alfredo Morelos, I felt in the midfield they were at the far better balance at that time. Now Tavernier's coming to a different part of his Rangers career, doesn't have the same effect going forward and defensively. So ultimately, it's not, they don't have the players that they had 2 years ago.
Okay, thank you to Grant. 01419511025. It's a perfect time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here looking back on a fairly sobering week for Glasgow's Big Two in Europe. Not for you Hearts fans though, you can come on and give us a rare piece of celebration after what's been a difficult start to the season. 0141 951 1025. Here's what Philippe Clement had to say about the chances that Rangers passed up last night.
You have two 200% chances, the first two chances of the game, so you need to kill them off to get a special European night. It's like that against teams with this quality. You don't get so many chances. These evenings in front of your fans, if you can score a goal, hell breaks loose and you can make them uncomfortable. That was the idea to do. No, I cannot accept it. I don't accept losing games, and I don't accept the level that we are. I'm always ambitious to raise the level. I think the very positive thing is that you create that amount of chances against a really good team.
Let's bring in Darren, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Darren, how would you sum up last night's performance?
No good at all. It's just I've been on before. I just don't think Clement's a man. Van Bronckhorst got a better tune out of players. Van Bronckhorst had a better side. I would take Steven Gerrard back tomorrow if possible. But I just think what Clement's brought in is just no good enough. It's just no good enough.
Is that all on the manager then? You know, you say you don't think it's he's the man sort of thing, but there has been a big turnover and it's early on, and the age of the squad's been brought down, the wage bill's been brought down. I'm not for a second saying he's blameless, but I'm wondering if it's all his fault. You think, you know, is a change of manager going to change anything?
I don't think he's bought well, you know. I mean, like, Cyril Dessers might be a nice guy on and off the field, and but he couldn't hit a buffalo in the backside with a banjo, you know. Like, the amount of chances he gets, it's You need a really good goal, because that team were no great at the back last night, and a decent striker could have scored a good few goals, but you can score against your Ross Counties and your Motherwells and that, but we need somebody better than that. We need somebody the standard of that. Kyogo, the boy he did at Celtic. I mean, if Rangers had been playing Dortmund, if they'd been double figures the other night, and you see how good Celtic are in this league. Right, they're absolutely scooching it now, but it just shows you the standard of the Champions League when a team can rip Celtic apart the way they did. And playing Dortmund.
There's a test of Philippe Clement on the way. You know, domestically and in Europe, he's got Tottenham, Ange Postecoglou at Ibrox. What a night that'll be. He's got Old Trafford. You know, Man United by that time will probably have sacked Erik ten Hag and there'll be a proper manager in. Domestically, he's got Aberdeen before the end of the month at Pittodrie. He's got the first cup of the season. He's got Motherwell in the Premier Sports Cup. There are tests all over the place. At the moment, and Darren is representative of that group, some Rangers fans are looking and thinking, I'm not sure. They used to be sure, now they're uncertain. So there are big tests on the way for Philippe Clement. And as I say, he came here a man of substance, but he's got to do better than he is at present.
Is that where you have to take care of that stuff that Hugh mentions? Scott, no one's saying that last night is like okay or acceptable. Philippe Clement said it himself, but it can happen when you step up in the level. But if that's then combined with slip-ups domestically, that's the bit that eventually, and I don't know how long, but eventually won't work out well for him.
No, I think if he continues to kind of peter on it like they have in the league, I know they're scraping by with 1-0s, but the performance levels isn't of the standard that Rangers fans are expecting of this side. I think both managers will take both games in isolation, as you would do, because of... Well, most certainly if you're Brendan Rodgers and how they've performed. Philippe Clement up until the Lyon game, that result in Malmo, fantastic. But you did see what you seen last night in that game, and that was chances going a begging, like big, big chances that weren't taken. And we spoke about it last week, and we said when it comes up against a difficult opposition, if you don't take them at the right moments, you'll be punished, and that's what we've seen.
Hugh, the notion of recruitment, Darren says Philippe Clement's not bought well, and obviously he'll carry the can.
Yep.
But then again, there are, you know, team of people involved in these types of things. Barami, would he have been the one positive perhaps last night for Rangers?
Yeah. I think that's part of the problem though, Gordon, and Barami was the one on a very tough night to find anybody who got more than 5 out of 10. There are individuals there, but there's not a team there. You know,
are there even that many individuals, though, I think, is Darren's concern?
No. Dessers always has his detractors and his defenders. He does score goals, but he needs 5 attempts to get one. Czerny's been a real surprise for me because I thought he looked a terrific player when he came at first, and he's gone backwards instead of forwards.
Tom Lawrence is easy man. It's got the goals obviously in the last 3 weeks. I think you can give him pass marks for sure.
But will he sustain that? Lawrence in his time in a Rangers jersey has flattered the deceive, I think.
No, but I think he's due a bit of credit because he has come up with 8 goals recently for Rangers and obviously gets in on one again last night. I think ultimately, individually, they're nowhere near Celtic. So if you're not individually near them, you need to be organised and structured, and that's what we've been saying about Philippe Clement. Can he get that on the training part? That's what he needs to show.
The other big thing, and you know this to be true, Scott, the Rangers-Celtic game on January 2nd. If he doesn't win one, then the fans will not have him anymore.
No. A lot can happen both ways before then, though, I guess. We're probably going to have a really similar discussion about Celtic when we hear from Brendan Rodgers, Scott. So specifically Rangers last night, what could they have done tactically, structurally, with the players that they've got to make it a bit more competitive last night? Is there anything?
Well,
or is it all just that chance taken?
Chance, well, for me, looking back at the game, you take the early chance, it allows you to settle into the game before Leon do, and you don't allow them to get their tails up. Second of all, the goals that they were giving away. The corner barren one, there's no getting away from it, it's poor, doesn't realise where he is in the pitch, doesn't check shoulders, all fundamentals of playing central midfield, especially for a club like Rangers, it should just be a given if you're playing in that position. If you're up against it, you're up against it from the get-go because you're handing goals to a very good opposition. But there was chances there. If Rangers could have been solid enough, they would have created chances in that game because it was not a good Leon defence.
Okay, thank you to Darren on the phones. Craig is on Twitter. He says, Czerny's miss was criminal. Barron's pass a huge error. Tactics and substitutes were baffling. Bringing on Dowell instead of Sterling and pushing Brami into the 10. We still don't have a shape or a style. Worrying times with Clement steering the ship. Other than that, though,
everything's fine. Everything fine. As I say, there are individuals you can argue about their merits and demerits, but there's not a Rangers team.
No. I've received some really disturbing news on the footballing stats front. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's disturbing news for you and your fellow duds because the week has already been won by the listeners. Shameful. It's a dead rubber for you two tonight. It's 3 wins out of 4 for the listeners this week. And apparently 3 people called Aaron have been on to play. There's a stat you never knew you needed.
So there's going to be another Aaron on tonight.
They're all phoning me the same name. I don't know what the script is.
The low point was Mark Wilson
last night.
Name a team, Scottish team, with a flower in their name.
No way.
Who does Mark Wilson work for?
Patrick Thistle.
He didn't get it.
No, that's him and I must have.
That training gear
must
every day
have worked. Anyway, call before 7 o'clock, and you could be playing Beat the Pundit next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025. We heard from Philippe Clement. We've been looking over events at Ibrox last night, and we can continue that if you wish. However, Brendan Rodgers spoke today as well, looking back once more on events in Dortmund, defending the way Celtic went about it. Obviously says it was a tough night, and there's been a day or so of grieving, but defending the way that Celtic went about their business. I wonder what you make of that, Celtic fans. We'll hear from him and you after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. I cannot believe it. 3 wins out of 4 for the listeners this week. And unbelievably, because it's not even that common a name, 3 Aarons in a row have played this week. And you will never guess the name of the contestant tonight.
Aaron.
No, it's Lee. It's Lee in Livingston. How's it going,
for
Lee?
That one. Not too bad.
Aaron's not like, it's not like your middle name or anything, is it?
No.
Nah, just lie and say it is, just to keep us happy. But anyway, have you ever played before? What did you say?
Played twice, aye.
Oh,
been beat both times.
Oh, no. He's going for third time lucky. The pressure's off you in the sense that the listeners have already won the week, but I know that won't help you much. You want to try and get that sign ball eventually. Heads, it's Hugh Keevan's. Tails, it is Scott Allen. And it is heads, it is Hugh against Lee. In Livingston, has it been heads? We run on a Friday
weeks,
night.
Yeah.
Something about Mondays and Fridays. Can't seem to do a tails on a Monday or a Friday, but there we go. Right, Lee, I will give Hugh some greatest hits radio now to listen to so he can't hear what's going on here. You have got 30 seconds, as I'm sure you know. Just answer as many as you can and pass if you want to move on, okay?
No worries, cheers.
Right, you're 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored Hearts last minute winner last night?
Dander.
Lacazette played for which English Premier League team?
Arsenal.
Which Super Scoreboard pundit played for Sheffield Wednesday?
Pass.
Which team splits Rangers and Celtic in the Scottish Women's Premier League table at the moment?
Glasgow City.
Which ex-SPFL striker had a penalty saved in Wednesday's Champions League ties?
Pass.
Who's got more Scotland goals, Lauren Shankland or Kevin Nisbet?
Nisbet.
Okay. Let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, nodding your head there. You look like you're in
bit,
the mood.
A bit of Wham, a bit of George Michael there.
I was actually laughing at the conversation I overheard between you two during the break when Scott Allen was trying to urge you to get an Apple Watch.
I know.
To track the number of steps that you make.
Frightened.
Because you don't drive. Look at this. Seriously. Is this the piece of equipment that would match an Apple Watch? How's he gonna link his Apple Watch to this Nokia, Scott Allen?
Apple does simplify it for you if you were shown, I think.
Not
see, change your life.
Not to his level of simplification.
Maybe not. My wife wants to go and see Billy Joel in Edinburgh next June, and you have to go online to buy the tickets and do online banking. So we've hit a roadblock here.
They use the QR codes as well for a lot of things like that as well.
The what?
QR codes, sorry.
Nokias don't scan
wasted
QR
on you.
Codes. Right, Hugh, you've got 30 seconds to answer as many questions as you can, and your time starts now. Who scored Hearts last minute winner last night?
Yeah, Danda.
Lacazette played for which English Premier League team?
Arsenal.
Which Super Scoreboard pundit played for Sheffield Wednesday?
Mark Olsen.
Which team splits Rangers and Celtic in the Scottish Women's Premier League table at the moment?
Glasgow City.
Which ex-SPFL striker had a penalty saved in Wednesday's Champions League ties?
Pass.
Who's got more Scotland goals, Lauren Shankland or Kevin Nisbet?
Shankland.
What is the name of Stirling Albion's home ground?
Forth Bank.
Oh, could that last answer be critical? Lee, what do you think?
I've been beat again.
You sure? Three in a row. Oh my goodness.
Simon Donnelly. I'm sorry, Simon.
Jan Danda, well done. You both got it. Hearts last minute winner. Good. On two ways to look at it. At least we got a Scottish win,
yep,
in Europe. Obviously it was a more winnable tie than the other two, but still. And particularly for Hearts, they've had a real rough start to the
terrible
season.
Terrible time. Yeah, you know, they overcame everything last night. Not only Minsk, but a ground with no people in it. And it took us back to those COVID days, and it really, really, really kills the game. But credit to Liam Fox. He got them a draw at least at Tynecastle prior to the European tie. And I very much look forward to Sunday's game, Aberdeen Hearts. I think it was a real test of Jimmy Tielan, test of Hearts. But Jan Danda came good last night.
Yeah, well done, the Jambos. Anyway,
wait a minute.
Oh, sorry, Lee, are we interrupting?
Live radio.
Don't know what to get involved in here. I just accidentally dropped his first name, Lacazette, as if it's like his only name. Alexander Lacazette played for Arsenal, of course. You both got it. Simon Donnelly, of course. You're right. The Super Scoreboard pundit who played for Sheffield Wednesday. 2-2. You both knew that Glasgow City, sitting between Rangers and Celtic in the SWPL, Rangers and Celtic drew 2-2. Action-packed game in Cumbernauld last night. Couple of penalties, bit of controversy. Rangers 2-0 up, so it was a good one. And Glasgow City do still sit in between them. None of you knew that the ex-SPFL striker who had a penalty saved in Wednesday's Champions League? No?
No.
Bojan Miovski.
Oh.
From Girona. Yeah. Right, Lee, you're level at this point. You still think you've lost it?
Aye, kinda.
Well, it goes down to this 50-50, really. So who's got more goals for Scotland? Lauren Shankland or Kevin Nisbet? Lee went Kevin Nisbet. Hugh went Lauren Shankland. And Hugh is correct. It's 3-1 in Lauren Shankland's favour. And fourth bank, just to add a bit of gloss to it, Lee, you got 3 on the night. You've also got 3 defeats in a row and beat the pundit. Are you giving up? Are you going to come back for more?
No chance.
See, that's like you.
I mean, no chance. I'll come back.
What's your saying? You go from one
failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm.
Good on you. That's the motto Lee needs to apply to beat the pundit. Well done, Lee. Thanks for taking part.
Please, thank you.
Right. Well, I mean, I say well done. That's not what I meant. I meant thanks for thanks for playing. But you've saved face a little bit. Your colleagues let you down this week. It is still a 3-2 victory for the listeners this week. So well done. Well done, listeners.
I only said Mark Wilson because I thought he's played for everybody down there. But Sid, of course it was Sid.
No, he's only played for Bristol City.
It felt like more.
It's because he failed a medical at Leeds. He tried to go somewhere else, and that's where you're getting mixed up, I think. Not like Mr. 14 clubs next to you.
Thank you.
The golfer, they call him. Scott the golfer Allen. 14 clubs and a broken wrist.
Some good clubs.
Sticky off
Monday
definitely. Yeah.
Well, I think that's the plan.
Okay, we'll see. Right, 01419511025. Celtic fans, I know both conversations have been sort of intertwined a bit tonight, but let's hear from Brendan Rodgers and make it more specifically about you rather than Ibrox last night, which we gave a good seeing to in the first hour. Brendan Rodgers was asked today that these questions that always come around after a defeat like that, you know, are Celtic learning from them? Is Brendan Rodgers learning from them? Can they approach games differently? Well, here's what he had to say on that.
We play how we play. It's the same plaudits that are commending our performances over the last numbers of months to get into this game with this incredible optimism that we can get a result out there. Can't just turn the tap back off and say, right, you become super defensive. It's not how we play. And so what do? Sit back, have 15% of the ball and probably lose 3-0, 4-0. We've seen it over 6 months. Teams that will come to us and sit back and play 5 at the back and 5-4-1 and, you know, with no chance to attack. Or do you play how you play but know that the mistakes, you've got to sharpen your teeth in and you've got to be brighter in, you've got to make quicker movements, you know, to close space. And all those things are a learning process. And I'd much rather do that and go down with my own vision than by someone who's saying and who's never coached a game in their life or played or done whatever. So I respect the opinion, but it's not. I don't listen to it. I never have.
Well, he's entitled to his view. He's the manager. He's the one who got trebles for Celtic. As I say, he left the country last weekend after a performance against St Johnstone, and I don't need to be told about the quality of the opposition. I'm referring to the quality of Celtic's performance. He left after a performance that was breathtaking, fantastic to watch, and optimism was sky high. But I think there came a point in the game against Dortmund where it was clearly running away from Celtic. And I think at that point you have to reset and do something to spare your blushes. I really did think at one point they were going to lose 10 goals. And I'm sure there must be many shell-shocked Celtic supporters who felt the same thing. But, as I say, the man's entitled to his opinion. He has earned the right to his philosophy. But when they play Atalanta in Bergamo, at the end of the month, it can't be another going over, because that would then allow people to say, well, what lessons are you absorbing and what are you doing to change anything? Because Brendan has had some fair old tousings in his time in Europe as Celtic's manager.
Can't turn it on like a tap, says Brendan Rodgers. Scott, he says, you know, what do you want us to do? Go sit in front of our 18-yard box and then lose 3 or 4-0 the way teams do when they come to Celtic and try and sit in? Is it as simple as that? Do you agree with that sentiment?
I agree with everything you said.
So how do you, what do you do then? Do you, because it's not like this is not the first time Celtic fans have had to feel this way after a heavy defeat. If it was the first time, fine, but it's not.
Yeah, but if you sit and play 5-4-1, you defend for the whole game, you lose 4-0, you then flip it and say, why have we not been playing the way we've been playing? It's genuinely as simple as that. The main thing is going to be the Atlanta away game. What are the small lessons they've learned in terms of playing out in their build? Kyogo, I think you touched on it as well in an interview about, as the game went on, I think 35 minutes in, Kyogo was still pressing the Dortmund goalkeeper, and it was so easy for them to go out. So they'll be the wee tactical things that I think you'll look at if they can sharpen that up, the speed of movement. And that's the difference between two sides. The Dortmund players are playing a pass to their teammate for the next pass, if does that make sense. There's a message on the pass, and so he knows he's taking his touch here and it goes in there. Celtic, unfortunately, the pass was too heavy. That comes with pressure, obviously being a couple of goals down, and then they get caught and they get punished.
Hypothetical question for you. If Atalanta wins 7-1, is he still correct in everything that he says?
That's his belief. That's how he sees his side playing.
Yeah, but is it right? Because we know that. We know it's his belief. I don't think anyone's doubting
that. Yeah, but he said in the pre-match press conference before the game, he knew that they were going to press them. So the plan was, if you play through the press, the game opens up and then you can get your Maeda's, your Kyogo's running behind with a bit of space. Unfortunately for Celtic, in the build, it wasn't clean enough to get through that press. That it was as simple as that. And then when they did give the ball back to Dortmund, they were punished because they've got a high standard of players.
Let's ask Robbie his take on it as a Celtic fan. Robbie, you know, this notion of just being more defensive, or the P word, not that one, pragmatic, that people always mention. Can that be done, Robbie, or is Brendan Rodgers right to stick to his guns?
Good evening, panel. Yeah, I would actually like to take us back to June 2023, what Brendan Rodgers said about Celtic in Europe. I've actually passed this on to a journalist who's took this on board. And I'm going to read out these comments. I'll actually blow you away with what he's actually said at today's press conference. It's a pretty much goes against the grain of what he's actually saying, right? I'm just going to read this out. You always go out to be offensive and aggressive in games, Rodgers said on Friday after being unveiled as a Celtic manager for a second time. But it was something I looked at when I went back to my time in England. The very first game I ever did it brought a bit of pragmatism into my team was when we beat Manchester City 5-2. That was the first time I ever went into a game where I wasn't pressing high and being really super aggressive on the pressure. We closed up the space much deeper. That was part of my growth as a coach, because I thought, OK, it's not how I want to see the game and how I want to play, and 99% of the time I won't. But when you're up against an opponent that actually wants to attract you out and exploit the space, there are always ways you can win really well. That was the first time in my career I did it, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the 5-2, absolutely. That's not how I work all the time, but it was an acknowledgement of the super quality of the team we were facing, and how to take a different tactical approach while still being really effective and working well. That's the challenge here at Celtic. Every week, 99% of the time, your games are here are on the front foot, imposing your style. And it also goes on to say it wasn't that it was negative, it was a tactical approach and it got us some results.
Robbie, what's all this about? What's it leading to? What conclusion do you draw from this?
I see what it's going, to be fair, Robbie. I think we can nip the quotes in the bud, because you have represented them well. You're basically trying to point out that he said he would be more pragmatic and would be tighter and hasn't been. That ultimately where you're heading?
Yeah, that's what it says. And it goes on to say it wasn't that it was negative, it was a tactical approach and it got us some results. It's very much against the grain for me, but it's also me understanding from time to time it might get you a result. So that's him saying that he's actually going to be pragmatic, and he's bringing up that game in Leicester when he actually won 5-2. He wasn't pressing high, and he's talking about being pragmatic in Europe. Now, that's totally everything against what he actually says at that press conference today, where he says this is just the way we're going to play, about not being super defensive. He's actually saying this 5-2 game. He was the one who brought it up about the 5-2 game at Leicester.
Yeah, so fair enough. I think it's a good, it's an interesting comparison, Scott. Generally speaking, I don't feel like many teams now, good teams, really do change what they do. They tend to have that plan, and then they just do that. You know, they just try and implement it.
Do it better.
Yeah, but right now, I think the one that's maybe blown that apart a bit recently is Arsenal. You know, they've decided they can go to Man City, and I know there was a sending off, but don't mind, just really sitting back. You've trained under Brendan Rodgers. Are there small tweaks that can be made then? Because I do get that, to be fair, what he says. You can't have it both ways. We can't have them playing to a domestic level that we've not really seen before, according to the Celtic fans, and it's so great and it's so eye-catching. You can only do that if you work at it every day. Mm-hmm. So when do you work at becoming super defensive? So I get that. I get that you can't just stonewall teams. What are the tweaks, though? Because as Hugh says,
your press could be deeper.
Right.
So you don't start as high.
So, but is he willing to do that then?
Yeah, I think he will. I think when you, if you watch the full press conference today, in fact, I think you done it, to be fair, I think they'll obviously start a bit deeper with their press, and the trigger will be maybe if the ball goes wide, then they all move and they try and quarter the pitch off and make it tighter to be played through. I think if you're Dortmund and you've watched Celtic, they would have seen how well they've been playing in terms of offensively. So as soon as that game kicks off, all week the Dortmund players would have seen Kyogo goes, Maeda goes, and they would have been out in the training park working on exactly that, because that's what you do. From the first minute, Kyogo goes and presses, and they go bump, 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 and they're all settled, right, this is exactly how they're going to play. So say you go to Atalanta and they're watching, and for the first 20 minutes the press starts deeper. They players haven't seen that, because what they've worked on all week and they've seen in video hasn't then came to fruition in the game.
Is it too simplistic to say you simply come across opposition, but Borussia Dortmund being one, Atalanta being another, that you simply can't live with, because you're not anywhere near their level?
That's the challenge
as a manager, especially in terms, if you're Brendan Rodgers on the touchline this season, you're watching your team play, that's the challenge. You will believe in it.
See, to be fair, it might just be a damage limitation thing, because I don't think this is, what do you mean with, you know, what do you mean by living with?
I mean, when the draw was made, I said to you, I think Celtic will lose all four away and have the potential to win all four at home. RB Leipzig, terrific in midweek, and that could be a problem at Celtic Park.
But that's what I mean. If Celtic, you would still be right in that, but if Celtic lost 3-1 the other night, we're not having this discussion.
No.
You know, we're not having that. So the Celtic fans who want a tweak or pragmatism or more defensive, I don't think it's necessarily because they think it definitely wins them the game, but it just stops the embarrassment.
But by the same token, Gordon,
or they feel it does, sorry.
You can go over Brendan Rodgers' years at Celtic, both spells, and they have taken horrible beatings, and this is over a period of years.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Good size.
But that's what I mean.
Really good size.
That's my point. You simply come up against people, Barcelona, PSG, Borussia Dortmund, that you cannot live at that level.
I'm not sure we can keep doing that, though, because I said it the other night, and then people think you're making excuses for Celtic. Far from it. Dortmund were excellent. They were really good. But they're also not in that same bracket that Barcelona team you're talking about.
Oh, but they were last season's Champions League finalists.
I know that, but by the same token, they were fifth in the Bundesliga last season. You could do that. All, you know, Atletico Madrid, there was a sixth. These are brilliant teams, but surely you've got to find a way of at least keeping the score down.
But Brendan's record shows you that he hasn't found a way.
And that's why we're debating whether he goes about it in the right way or not.
But Brendan has told you today that he has a philosophy and he will not amend that philosophy.
Yes, and I'm in danger of patronising you here, but the debate is whether he's right or not.
No, he's wrong.
Well, that's all we're trying to establish, but Scott thinks he's right.
Well, Scott's a pro player and I'm a pro journalist. And maybe, you know, beneath Brendan's words today, there was the unmissable feeling that he thinks, well, journalists, so what? And I'm not taking the huff.
I think you need to add fans to that, because a lot of Celtic fans feel that it should be different.
Not taking the huff. Simply hold up a bit of paper and say, how do you explain all this? And if Atalanta wins 7-1, the bit of paper comes out and said, well, you said you were going to stick to your philosophy, and it's the same thing every time.
Let's thank Robbie. We'll bring in Peter in Postle Park after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. A very easy... Well, no, and I say easy, it's a straightforward full-time teaser. I don't know if the answers will be easy. We won't dwell on it too much because there are lots of calls still to get through. But Michael in Partick is asking, out with Celtic and Rangers, can you name the 10 captains in the Scottish Premiership? There's one for you. Where would you like to start? Who are the 10 captains in the Scottish Premiership, apart from Celtic or Rangers?
Shankland.
Yep.
Joe Neil.
Yep. Any from you, Shug?
What a dodgy question.
Is it?
Mark O'Hara.
Yes.
Oh.
Flying. Okay, we'll leave it just now. That's 3-7 to get. And thank you to Michael, who emailed his question to fulltime@clyde1.com. I liked a caller that I just saw pop through during the break. Didn't even want to come on. Just wanted to know, why is the word pragmatic used so often? And it's really true. The only time I ever hear pragmatic used is when talking about Scottish teams in Europe. I don't hear it at any other, you know, walk of life. Dealing with things sensibly and realistically in a way that is based on practical rather than theoretical considerations.
Well, it's just a quick way of saying that then. It's like narrative.
But the caller is right. People do say it a lot. And then Brendan Rodgers sort of knowingly nodded. He said in his press conference, I mean, people say pragmatic. So then he brings it up, and round we go. Peter's on the line. How are you, Peter?
Not bad, Gordon, thanks. Yourselves?
Not bad. Are you a pragmatist, Peter?
So I'm just generally know Gordon. Well, I know a sense I, but I mean, obviously it's been great this season so far, right? Not so obviously Tuesday night. Well, football has been fantastic. We've lost three goals domestically, obviously, two cup games, which, you know what I mean, but since Brendan came first time around, and then Ange, now back to Brendan, getting heavy defeats now, so away from home, we'll learn. Ange said his philosophy, which was all great and well, basically same. Maybe he's asked Gordon at St Johnson Sunday, and was like, "Well, brilliant performance, how we played and everything else." For 1 minute, we're going to go to Dortmund, and we'll even get a victory on Dortmund. So we put on a good display. Ourselves, if we can win with a 3-1 future, it'd be fine. You turn up in the game, as you say, but I mean, you've got to protect the ball better. First and foremost, and full midfield, I think I've lucky heard once or twice in that first half. I know you're saying that being pragmatic, surely you're not asking to go gun-ho. No sense that in another Craig Levein against the Czech Republic, but it's for 15, 20 minutes. They can get the yellow walls, the red brick wall getting going maybe against them, not great in the league. Until you feel your way into the team. I mean, go to 3-1, surely then, no common sense, surely we're defenders. We should say, well, instead of trying to place it into Cal or Aaron Engels, which has been brilliant, the fact that we spent the money on the boy, over the have their defenders turning.
Yes, the three became five very quickly and so on, didn't it? It's so difficult, Scott, because the, you know, this notion, you know, just settle yourself into the game a bit, that does all sound good. Is it as easy as that?
No, I don't think when they've obviously worked on something from pre-season that has worked, it's as easy to go and say, feel your way into the game. What I do think is, though, the press could have been a little bit deeper and maybe closed their spaces off where Dortmund were looking to pick them off. But the mistakes actually came from Celtic, technically, on the ball. Obviously, everybody said about the 5-4-1 thing, should they do that? the mistake from Maeda that leads to the Adeyemi goal comes from him being so deep, and that's what, where he would be in terms of that shape if they were pinned back off a Dortmund side, taking the ball back to goal in an area where he wouldn't want it, doesn't know what's running about him, takes a heavy touch, punished for it. So it's not as easy as everybody thinks. You sit at the edge of the box and you can hit the, I heard a few pundits after the game saying, get Maeda down the side of him. It's not as easy as that because you're pinned back. So then when you turn over the ball, like Celtic do, the other teams in the SPFL, they turn it into the channel, Celtic pick up, they go again. So it's not as easy as that.
Are you, to become a victim then, Hugh, of the fact that, you know, Celtic are refining a way to really destroy domestic opponents, not just beat them? It was like watching Harlem Globetrotters at times in Perth. But when you do that, like I said, that becomes your real focus. And that's where Brendan Rodgers says, what do you want me to do? You know, I spent all this time making this. So I can't 2 days before you go to Dortmund say, right, Kyogo, Maeda, right, every day, back here.
Don't have the time to.
Is there a happy medium then? Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's not. It doesn't have to be black and white like that.
I absolutely respect his response to the questions today where he says, I can't just turn it on and off like a tap. And, you know, I have my philosophy and I want to impose my philosophy. Scott, beside me, is well-versed in all the tactical intricacies. Peter on the line just sees Celtic getting a doing every time they play high-class opposition, and that the fans are tiring of it. They're tiring of humiliation. And, you know, they just want the manager to do something on nights like that doesn't end in humiliation. So it's I respect Scott, Brendan Rodgers, the pros, the way they see the game, the tactical intricacy. But the fans just see a doing.
It's funny because is there a wider point here, Scott, maybe an acceptance that this, even at the top level, is sort of the way the game has moved on? Because, you know, Peter mentions Ange Postecoglou did it, you know, too stubborn, stuck to his own style. Whatever it was, it got Ange Postecoglou a move to a massive club in the English Premier League. And by the way, he's still doing that and he's still getting criticism for it. And is the line too high? And should they sit back a bit? Even at that level, that, you know, he's still getting those question marks. So I wonder if it's just a, you know, maybe the game has evolved to a point, like I say, where teams don't have this plan A, B, C, D, and that all looks very different. They've just got that one way that they really sort of try and fine tune. The problem for Celtic and Rangers, every time they go from, no offence, St Johnstone and Ross County to Lyon, Borussia Dortmund, etc.
But I think that's the difference when we talk about the league. Celtic, in terms of physicality, speed that Dortmund have, and the technical ability, Celtic don't have that challenge in Scotland. They don't have it with Rangers. No question about it, certainly not this season anyway. So when you do go from St Johnstone to Dortmund obviously play Leipzig, they play Bayern Munich, they play Leverkusen, they have these sorts of challenges. They've seen teams who try and play this way, they've seen guys with pace like Maeda, they've seen teams come and press them. That Dortmund team, by the way, went to St James's Park last year, and Newcastle, one of the best pressers in the Premier League last year, and they absolutely battered them. So it's purely based on how you see football. For me, he will look at it in isolation. Where can we maybe fix it and get it a wee bit cleaner on the build and get your best players in the positions you want them? And that's Maeda, Kyogo, and behind.
As you say, Hugh, about the, you know, the contrast and the challenge, this surely then just gets put to bed until the next Champions League game.
Yeah.
Because we don't learn anything about this on Sunday in Dingwall.
No.
And presumably Celtic will win the game. And then, you know, is it? It just feels like there's a bit of a never-ending cycle to it. I feel like we've had these conversations before.
Yeah. On the one hand, you have to hand it to him, Brendan Rodgers. He came back last season, wasn't wanted by a percentage of the Celtic fans, overcame everything, won the league and the cup. This season, at the start, 20 goals scored in the league, none conceded. The football, an absolute joy to watch at McDermott Park, and Peter knows that to be the case. But Brendan, you know, there will come a time, and Atalanta, the very next test, yeah. he will simply have to compromise his principles. He will have to, because if he refuses to compromise his principles, and it's another sore one, then...
What does that look like, though, Hugh?
Well, it looks like what he said today. It looks like trying to cut the score down to 2 or 3.
No, that's what he's saying, that he's not doing that. You know, he wouldn't see that as a victory. He wouldn't see compromising his principles to shave one, you know, 2 or 3 off a scoreline as being a road that he wants to go down.
Well, does he want to go down the road then of losing 7-1 again? And, you know, that would then come under the heading of arrogance.
I suppose what as a case test, and you, Celtic, Brendan Rodgers is not going to do this. He's not going to choose this option. But from our point of view, it would be really interesting to see what would happen if Celtic did go drastically different and then still lost anyway. Yeah. And then you would kind of know, because football isn't that simple. And I do always reference the Barcelona game. He did play 5 at the back in the Nou Camp. You know, it was a back 3, the wing backs. They could beat. They
just
absolutely
on the
hammered.
Ropes when it's like that.
But then again, that was like absolute cream of the crop team, yep. wasn't it? That they came up against. I thought the comparison to domestic football maybe was quite apt, because we do this all the time, don't we? We see Scottish Premiership teams going to Celtic Park. Do they park the bus? Do they have a go? Yeah. We have this debate all the time. Inevitably, Celtic win those matches anyway. Is it as easy as to then to sort of reflect that into Europe and say that's what would happen to Celtic?
Yeah, I think it is, when, and bearing in mind the teams that are coming to Celtic Park and playing that are probably more defensive minded players who are happy enough to sit and be disciplined in a shape and defend for their lives for 90 minutes. Celtic's profile players aren't built like that. They're built to go and create and excite and score goals. So it's not as easy as just lining up 5-4-1 and defending for your lives for 90 minutes against top European opposition.
Let's get a bit more on what Brendan Rodgers thought then when he spoke to the media earlier on talking about that game in Dortmund.
I'm experienced enough to know that when the stakes are high and you've got high level competition, that sometimes you have to expect defeat. If you don't, you're a dreamer. And if you dream in management, you won't be in it long. It's great for everyone to dream and for critics to look and think what the score is going to be and what it might be and this and that. But as a manager and a coach, when you're in the professional game, at times against the Champions League finalists, you might expect that you might actually lose. I have a real belief in the group of players, how they've been working. It was a sore one the other night. And like, as I said, there's lots of critique around it and how you play and how you do all of this. But that has never bothered me. We have a way of working that same way that excites supporters, has got them really positive, and the team and the club will continue on that path. But you know that, and I know that we'll bounce back to an even stronger position than what we were before we went into the game. Why? Because we'll learn from it.
He understands, because he's a time-served manager of high repute, that there was a risk of Celtic losing. Of course there was a risk. They were playing Borussia Dortmund in Germany. But I wonder if at some point he digs his heels in too far. You know, when it's clear that the game was not running away from Celtic, it was galloping away from Celtic, that kind of stubborn streak, not enough done to see if he could stop it in its tracks, at least keep them down to 5 or whatever.
Because I think, in fairness, I mean, forget what we say or anyone else out with, but the Celtic fans, I don't think they're complaining that they didn't win the game. So when Brendan Rodgers says, you know, you're a dreamer if you don't think you're going to lose at some point, I don't think that's the issue for the Celtic fans that are complaining. I don't think losing the game was the issue. It's the 7-1 scoreline and nothing else, really.
The very first caller, Wednesday night, Celtic fan said, if he can't change, we should change him. Now, that and I had to laugh, because I think this is Brendan Rodgers, who's done more for Celtic than you could ever have hoped for. But that, to back up your point, that's the way fans see it. Celtic losing 7 goals, I'm not having that. If he can't stop that, he should go. You know, that's the kind of reaction that you get. It's a very personal thing. You know, that Celtic football at a domestic level is an absolute pleasure, and he has, as you said earlier, he is constructing ways to not only win league games, but to win them out of sight. But the fans take it on the nose when it's a 7 for a club like Celtic. And I go back to the very first call on Wednesday. If he can't change, we should change him. Which is nonsense, but that's how people feel.
And then it's a bit more difficult, Scott, this new format, because they won't play Dortmund again.
Nope.
So if this was the normal format, you're already looking at your points total, you're looking at getting battered, and then say, oh, well, we won't get anything against them when we play them again, but you don't need to play them again. So do you maybe need to be a bit more patient, wait and see where you are, you know, midway through the campaign or toward, in fact, Brendan Rodgers said judges at the end of January, basically. If Celtic get through this section, no one will care what the scoreline was in Dortmund. Incidentally, it could come down to goal difference, I suppose, but he'll be trying to take that out of the equation.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I think the taking it in isolation is what he will do. Yes, he will understand what led to the heavy defeat, but ultimately we're going to really find out what they have learned come the away leg at Atalanta.
Okay, 01419511025. Out of curiosity, how are you doing on your teaser? I said we wouldn't dwell on it long tonight, but who are the 10 Scottish Premiership captains out with the Old Firm? You've got, who did you give me? Mark O'Hara, Joan Yule and Lawrence Shankland.
Paul McGinn
at Motherwell, yes. Now we just need to get one from Hugh, I think. That's the aim.
James Tavernier.
Apart from Celtic and Rangers. Dad, don't get carried away. Yeah. See?
Smart Alec.
Exactly. I'm glad you said Alec.
Where was your high press there?
No, it was miles off it.
Give Hugh some thinking time. We'll be back after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. For football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part tonight with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. 0141 951 1025. Still time to tweet us as well.
I've got one.
I've got one. Right, hold your horses. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That's the email address to submit a teaser like Michael and Partick did tonight. The 10 Premiership captains out with the Old Firm. What have you got? What one?
Shinny.
Yes, you've finally got one. Well done. Before the break, you had Hearts, Lauren Shankland, Hibs, Joe Newell, Motherwell, Paul McGinn, St Mirren, Mark O'Hara as well. Take one more from you, Scott.
Jordan McGee.
No. I told you not Scottish during the break.
Oh, not Scottish.
Is East Kilbride not?
Go Vassell then, for Kilmarnock. Vassell.
Well done. Okay, so you're still looking for Dundee United, and Ross County and St Johnson.
Ross Dockery.
Dundee United, yes. Okay, 3 to go. Robert is in shots. How are you, Robert?
Aye, no bad.
What are you thinking tonight, Robert? What made you call?
Well, I was only thinking about the Rangers squad and the game.
Can you still hear us, Robert?
I can hear you, aye.
Yeah, you broke up a wee bit. Yeah, you were just saying something about the Rangers squad.
Aye, no, I was just talking about the recruitment that Phillips made. I actually think that there's a lot of potential there in the squad.
Who in particular? So who are the ones that excite you?
Well, the young one, the Casuaro, I think he's a decent player. I actually think Jeffty is actually coming out again.
Who was that last one, sorry?
Jeffty,
yeah.
Jeffty, aye. There are a good few of them in there. I honestly just think that a lot of the Rangers supporters should be looking forward to what we've got in that squad, really.
You see, you're talking about potential. We can only really comment on what you have said when we find out if the potential has been realised or otherwise, and only football results will tell us that. So we have to, the big challenges that lie ahead for Rangers, obviously Spurs, Man U, Aberdeen at Pittodrie, domestically speaking, can Philippe come up with a Celtic game, etc. Your question can only be properly answered once we know how these players of potential negotiate those domestic and European fixtures.
So you think, you know, this is all a bit of an overreaction last night, Robert? Is that the way you see it?
Listen, Rangers, I think Rangers are in a position to know that we've got a young squad. I know that a lot of supporters didn't want us.
Yeah, the line's really ropey, Robert. We'll just try and clear that up or knock it in the head, because it's been very difficult
I think Robert's heard enough of Rangers fans criticising the team and the performance, the result, the manner of the performance, and he's just trying to defend his club. But as I say, it's not possible to say that Robert's correct or incorrect until we see them negotiate the games that are up ahead for them. You know, Pittodrie will be a terrific test of Rangers. It's always a tasty fixture. How will they all handle that? And that, you know, the Tottenham game and Old Trafford and Celtic at Ibrox, and then we can answer the question.
I think, I mean, I'm not wanting to pour cold water on Robert's excitement for Casemiro. He's allowed to be, but I think someone like that, the difficulty is we don't even really know if he's in the team, or, you know, going to be in the team. I think Rangers fans maybe want a little bit more. They want to get excited about people who are definitely playing and think that they can take Rangers to the next level. Is there a lack of that currently?
Yeah, well, we're now in October. Should Tavernier still be starting? Should he not be? Casemiro, I think he's a right to be excited. And obviously, his performance in Malmo last week, and I think when he touches on Hefty, I think in the last few weeks you've seen a real improvement in him. He looks as if he's settling in really well, and there's a player in there. So there is players, yes, based on potential, could come good for Rangers. But you touch on, you can't really make that decision until you come through the test as an individual first and foremost, and then as a team.
I do see a lot of Rangers fans doing what you just did, looking at that next section of matches, Scott, and how important that is, because that's when you find out if what they did against Hibs and what they did against Dundee United, can that be sustained? You know, because that's fine. If you come off the back of Europe, you might be a bit leggy, you might win a game 1-0, you might not be at your best. Can that sustain you in games against Aberdeen? Can it sustain you in games against Kilmarnock? That's this next period looks like a crucial one for those who are maybe just on the fence about the progress under Philippe Clement.
Yeah, and a lot of fans are on the fence for the right reasons in terms of performance domestically. Hibs game, I thought Rangers were very poor, and Hibs at least deserved a draw. So if that's the same sort of performance level that's it's going to come to the Rangers fans in these difficult ties coming up, then there could be problems there.
If Europe starts to affect your domestic performances, I'm talking about Celtic and Rangers here, then you're going to have to rise to what's going on, because there will be hard nights ahead for Celtic and Rangers in Europe. And, you know, look no further than Sunday. Celtic, 12 o'clock kickoff in the frozen north. And they are going to have to get over the 7 goals that they lost.
Having said all that, there's an unwanted comfort here for the Celtic fans, because you've said it like everybody else. They get pasted in Europe quite regularly,
yeah,
and it never affects their domestic form.
Well, yep.
Unfortunately for them, they're used to that combination of heavy defeats in Europe and then bouncing back and sweeping everything.
It's amazing
domestically.
The Old Firm fans have a tremendous capacity for switching their mindset. Sunday is not about 7 against Dortmund or 4 lost at home to Lyon. Sunday is about us beating them. And that's the Celtic will have to go 8 points ahead of Rangers and hope that Rangers, to use the word of the week, are spooked and drop something at home to St Johnstone. We'll get back to domestic fundamentalism very, very easily on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you to Robert, by the way. Robert, let's try again sometime. Hopefully the line will be a bit clearer, but plenty to look forward to tomorrow. You and I, we can lock horns. Motherwell going to the Hibs. You fancy your old team?
I do fancy Hibs. I've seen a real improvement in them over the last month or so. I think, like I said a minute ago, I felt they deserved at least a point at Ibrox. I think they'll be confident getting into this game.
If Hibs get a penalty, will you let the dancer take it again, or would you just somebody who kicks the ball?
Yeah, it was poor, wasn't it? It was really poor.
Lennon Miller knows how to take them.
Oh yeah.
I'll delete that bit, because just in case he misses one soon, and it'll be my fault. Anyway, right, quickly round off the teaser. All the captains in the Premiership out with the Old Firm. Graham Shinney, Aberdeen, Ross Docherty, Dundee United, Shankland at Hearts, Joe Newell at Hibs, Kyle Vassell, Paul McGinn at Motherwell, Mark O'Hara, St Mirren. Oh, don't like that.
Who's St Johnston one is the lone. Yeah,
Kyle
player.
Cameron.
Yeah,
yeah, you wouldn't have got that. Right. Dundee, he's very experienced, has played for Aberdeen, St Mirren, St Johnston.
Irish.
Joe Shaughnessy.
Yes.
And the Ross County one's a bit trickier. Been there a couple of seasons, played for Hearts previously. Used to be a fullback, now he's a midfielder, is that right?
It's the first letter.
No. I'm putting out your misery. Connor Randall.
Randall.
Thank you, Scott Allen. Thank you, Hugh Keevans. We are back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us. A big weekend of Scottish football action. And in the meantime, the GBX is up next. Enjoy your Friday.